Okay, can we have the roll call, please?
Sure. Bruce Bastian. Tomas Boyan is excused. Terry Brown. Judy DeVersa.
Here.
Greg Fagan.
Here.
Michael Fitzpatrick.
Here.
David Flanagan.
Here.
Richard Gonzalez. Glenn Harvey.
Here.
Bill Klein.
Here.
Josh Montefusco.
Here.
Timu Pena. Andrew Thompson. And Myron Uman.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr.
Great, thank you.
Someday, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to take the poll in reverse alphabetical order.
We start with that.
That's been a problem since pre-K.
I've been waiting a long time.
All right. Next up on our regular items is the motion to adopt the agenda for today. So, motion by Myron, second by Bill. Does anyone have any additions, corrections, deletions that they'd like to see in the agenda? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next up is item 1C, the motion to approve the minutes of our June 7th, 2017 meeting. The motion, please.
Motion,
Bill. Second, Judy. Does anybody have any corrections, additions, deletions, etc. for the minutes of June 7th? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Comments from the chair? Nothing other than I apologize for being a few minutes late getting into the seat here. I'm going to claim my senior privilege on that one. CAC liaison's report.
Here's a few highlights. New county engineer ratified on June 13th. David Ricks is his name. There'll be impact fee workshop, Palm Beach County Commission on July 18th. And then we just concluded our second round of public meetings for the US 1 multimodal study. So Boca Raton's been done, and now Delray Beach. So now we're heading northward to Lake Worth, Lantana, and Hypoluxo sections. And that's later in July.
Okay. I have a quick question. Does that mean George Webb is no longer with the county?
That is correct.
One more week.
He has retired.
A couple more weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, a little bit. Only a
couple. So August 1st is our membership's interpreting.
Sometime in August.
The end of the
26 years, I think.
Long time.
Thank you, George has been here.
Yeah. He has a great party.
I don't remember a great one for her, Keller, not you. That was a very interesting time. Anyway, anybody have any questions, further questions on the liaison report? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to 1F, general public comments. All right, is anyone here from the public that would like to speak today? Seeing none, we'll close that section of the agenda and on to action item 2A, the motion to recommend adoption for the fiscal year 2019-23 annual list of priority projects.
Good afternoon. Kevin Fisher, LRTP coordinator of the Palm Beach MPO, but you all know me by now. All right, so wanted to do today was run through. This is an annual process, so those of you that have been on the committee for a while have seen this before. This year, our schedule is a little bit expedited because the Florida legislature is meeting on an expedited cycle this coming session, which means normally this priority list would come through the committees in September. This year, it's happening a few months earlier in July. So last month, the fiscal year 18 through 22 TIP was adopted. Now, 1 month later, we're already starting to think about next year's TIP, which is the 19 through 23 TIP. So the kind of the first stage in that process is to adopt the annual list of priority projects, which then feeds into the FDOT's draft tentative work program, which ultimately feeds into what we will then adopt as our next TIP, Transportation Improvement Program. So I just wanted to give you a little overview of where we kind of are in the process. So some frequently asked questions, if you had a chance to look in your backup material, you'll notice the priority list is divided into four different tables. The reason is there's different funding sources, so you'll notice there's the MPO major projects, there's the local initiatives projects, the transportation alternatives project, and then last year there was the addition, because there was additional state funding for the Sun Trail program, so that's the fourth list that comprises the priority list. For the local initiatives and transportation alternative projects, each year there's an annual competitive cycle for the local governments, and presentations were made to get a better understanding of the scope of the project, identify if there were any potential fatal flaws with the project. The local initiatives, those presentations occurred with MPO staff, and the transportation alternatives program project, in addition to MPO staff, also went for the BTPAC for their input and recommendations. Projects are ranked. There's a scoring system that's adopted annually, and those are based on the goals, objectives, and values in the adopted long-range transportation plan. You'll notice the far right column of each of the tables, there's a funding needs column, and those are projects where if there are any outstanding funds that have not yet been allocated that would be needed to realize completion of the project, we highlight that as additional funds that are needed for that project. And then lastly, if the project is on the priority list, is funding guaranteed? Well, typically those projects are funded, but it's not 100% guaranteed. The priority list is is guidance for FDOT in the development of the draft tentative work program.
Will you take questions?
Yes.
Everything in the TIP is scored, is that correct? And that's how you get your priorities, your ranking?
So the projects...
the projects are all in the TIP.
Correct, exactly. So all of the projects that we're proposing to bring forward, especially for the first section, which are the MPO major projects,
right.
There's a section of the adopted LRTP
right.
that has those cost-feasible projects, so that is the source of all of these projects. So all of the major projects are in the adopted 2040 long-range transportation plan.
One thing I don't see in the table are the actual scores.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it would be interesting if there is a scoring procedure,
mm-hmm.
That the score should be in this list to show you that, in fact, the number one is got the highest score.
Mm-hmm.
That would assure that there's no other influence on the rankings as opposed to the objective score. So
mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a suggestion that in the future, the priority list and table like this include the scores.
And I will, in a couple slides, I'm kind of go through how we did prioritize which projects get pulled in. So I may cover some of that in a couple slides.
Seen the matrix of parameters that are scored, and
mm-hmm.
we've seen all that several times, and we've commented on it a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
It would just seem to me to be useful to demonstrate that you're using that
mm-hmm.
to put the scores on the
yeah.
table.
Before I go on, any other questions?
Yeah, I noticed, I drive on Atlantic Avenue between Lyons and John. And if we're going to wait to at least 2023, there's nobody going to be moving in that section. So how can it be as number 14? Where the funding is on the PD&E for in 19 and 20 when it's such a congested highway.
So the way it works, when that project, I believe that Atlantic was added to the priority list, I think it's last year. So when a project is added onto the list, it's the outer years where the funds are allocated, because the projects higher up on the list are those projects. This is in chronological order. So the projects towards the top been on the priority list for a long time, and that's why you'll see the funding is in the earlier years. Projects that have been added this year, the funding will likely be added in the new fifth year of the TIP.
But that doesn't make sense. If a project comes up, if the ranking is based on the scores,
mm-hmm.
and a project arises and it has a higher score than one that's been previously on the list, it should go higher on the list. It shouldn't be a question of how long it's on the priority list.
Is there a way to put a project on hold if something more important comes along?
Yeah.
so it can take its place.
There have been shifts. Typically, that doesn't occur because, so you'll see all these dollar amounts in the table are funds that are in the adopted TIP today. So we still maintain them on the priority list because they haven't yet been constructed, but the funding would be available that new fifth year. Every year there's a TIP. That new fifth year is kind of the blank slate. So the previous 4 years in the TIP, the funds have already, available funds have already been allocated to projects.
But I think it comes down, if something more important comes along and it gets scored higher, what would it take for one of the other projects to be put on hold so that the more important project could take its place or move higher than it? How would that happen procedurally?
Not only that, it wouldn't even have to be scheduled before it, but at least be listed as a higher priority. It could be listed as a higher priority, but still, money's not available until 2022, but it would still be listed as a higher priority. I mean, my point is that it's not clear to me that since we don't know the scores, we don't know what the higher priority issues are, really are. They're just listed here. But if it just because it was number six on the priority last year, it's going to be on the sixth fund this year, that doesn't make sense to me.
And Michael?
Well, how long does it take once it's on a priority list to actually breaking ground? I mean, releasing bids, getting the money allocated, that's got to be a multi-year process. So anything that's on a list, how much is it locked in? 3 years in advance, 2 years?
Usually the time between so design and then construction, it's usually a two-year process is allocated for that gap between design and then construction.
So there's always a two-year lag?
Typically.
At least. So if it's something's higher on the priority list, it's going to be 3 years out anyway. Mm-hmm. Correct?
When you say 3 years out?
Well, if something is on a priority list as being a really important thing,
right.
There isn't going to be any money. You can't really get it off the ground for 3 years anyway.
Right, you're typically not going to see that happen next year when it's first added to a priority list. It's going to be some years out. That's correct.
Right, but it seems to me there are two different things we're talking about here. The TIP is the actual budget for actually doing things.
Right.
This is a description of priorities for things, and it really doesn't matter what the construction things are or where the money business is for this presentation. This is what's your priority, and that's independent of when the priority project is going to be able to be done. Because a project scores high doesn't mean that it's politically acceptable, or something may score lower, but it has greater political importance. And the PLA board, which decides what actually gets done. It's a political organization, but this is supposed to be an objective ranking of priorities based on the scores or the goals, objectives, or whatever it is that we've gone through for a couple of years to decide how should we be making decisions rationally. If the politicians want to make an irrational decision, that's perfectly within their ability to do so, authority to do so.
Sir, did you have a question?
Yeah, I Mort's that proposed addition. So that's only to fund the study, right? It's not anywhere near talking about wheels on the ground and bus rapid transit.
Right.
Just
the first component would be the planning evaluation of the corridor. And then ultimately that would lead to then capital investments and potential for premium transit service along the corridor. But the first step would be that planning. Similar to how the US-1 corridor study underway now. Right now we're in that planning phase, so that would be similar.
So what we're saying is the rank one project here has been there the longest. Is that what we're saying? Has been on the priority list the longest, or why is it at rank one? Like, what's the significance of rank one? Is there a significance of rank one?
Yeah, so
that's what I'm just
right. So the priority list, and that's why when you kind of look at the funding, how you'll see at the top, all the funding's towards the left, and then it progresses down to the right, because it's chronological order based. So that's the best way to characterize that, Nick, that when you're looking at the priority list, the first priority, it's been there the longest, so it's moved up in our priority list as the years have gone on, and then the new projects added come on to the end of that priority list.
So rank one is time-based.
Right.
Which is inconsistent with the notion that the projects are ranked based on the scores of the goals, objectives, and whatever that third thing was in that big table that we have talked about for several years. Nick, you just walked in. I raised this point. The scores are not on these tables. This is a priority, and if it's based on objective evaluation of the scores, the scores ought to be shown, and some relation to the, I mean, the politicians can have their priorities, but we ought to know, and we know they do, but we ought to know what the objective scores are, so we can see if the politicians are deciding to ignore those objective scores in some cases. It shouldn't be how long it's been on the priority list and moving up the priority list. I mean, that's just my point.
I just want to make a quick note on that. Because from what I'm hearing is, there could be, based on what you're saying, if we did it your way, then there might be a project out here that never gets done.
No, that doesn't mean it at all.
Well, I mean, if there's constant projects coming in, certain areas are being developed, right, and that project never becomes a priority.
I think the point is there's a difference between the TIP and the priority list. Mm-hmm. The TIP is the budget. This is what we're going to spend things on. And that's a political document. Priorities we've been talking about for a long time should be based on objective analysis or based on goals, you know, how things fit. The order of the funding is a different matter than the scores in that scoring system. Now, we're being asked to approve basically what the politicians have decided is their priority without knowing what the scores are. And when it gets time to voting, I'm not going to be able to vote because I don't know what the political dimensions are of the priorities. So it just seems to me that somehow or another, the if you have in the whole process and a scheme for analyzing each project in terms of the goals and objectives, the results of that ought to be displayed somewhere, so either the public or the politicians know how those things come out, and incorporate that into their decision-making process. And the, you know, they can overlay politics to it, but they ought to have the objective information. Otherwise, there's no sense in going through all that scoring. We don't know what the results of the scores are.
You want to know where the fire is.
Hmm?
You want to know where the fire is. You want to know where to send help.
Well,
you want to know who's ahead and by how much.
Yeah. Based on the objective analysis, or it's actually a subjective analysis of all how a given project meets all these little goals. If you go through all that, why don't we know about that? And as I've been trying to think about, you know, that first chart, where in the whole system should that information be displayed? And it seems to me it should be displayed in the process of deciding on what the priorities are.
Okay, let's try to.
Sorry, let's.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump ahead. Wait, one sec. I think what Myron is asking for is what is the derivation,
mm-hmm.
the ranking based on the score.
Right.
The bigger subject here, which will go on forever, if we're going to debate it or even talk about it, is this isn't an exact science, this is an art. There are projects that come up, there are delays, there are environmental, there are engineering issues, there are right-of-way issues, there's legal issues, there's all kinds of issues that it doesn't really matter what the score is going to be. This thing is always going to be adjusting based on an evaluation or an engineering judgment by the people that are actually doing it. And it's like you brought up Atlantic Avenue. Great, we got the money, let's build it. Okay, we got to go to bid, we got to find an engineer. That takes a certain amount of time. Engineer gets involved, then we got to come up with preliminary designs. Then you got to figure out if you got the right of way, who's dedicating the right of way, who's going to be condemning the right of way. You get a lawsuit, you not have a lawsuit. And every year, these issues go into that pot. Like, we got to get this road open. How fast is the builder going? How about that shopping center open, etc. So this is not a science, everybody. This is an art, and it's. I don't know if there's a real definitive answer for it, other than it is political. It's political, it's mechanical, it's an art, it's all those functions. So, I mean, I think there's a score is a score of a priority, but the actual putting it into a TIF is an art, it's not a science. I think Nick could probably give us a whole, talk about that for an hour, I think.
I agree with that.
And if you'd like to do that, I think we could certainly set the time up, but I don't want to keep everybody here for a very artsy type of discussion of how this thing gets done. So I recommend that we try to move on because everybody's here rather than stuck on this one issue, if that's okay. Go ahead, Glenn.
Absolutely. One last question. Where's the turnpike money? Are the turnpike money projects in the TIF or are they not in the TIF?
There are some segments of the turnpike winding that are in the TIF, the section north of Boynton Beach Boulevard to the Service Plaza, that's in the TIF. So you're not going to see that on the priority list here.
So it's in the TIF for this year?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they're meeting in September. If there's some kind of a summary you can come up with the scoring for the rank, some kind of an explanation, I think it would save some time. I know it's a very hard thing.
So I'm walking in on the end of this, and for those of you, there's a few of you in the room I haven't met yet. My name is Nick Red, I'm the director for the MPO. I want to make sure I'm understanding the request. Are you asking for scores for the major projects as well as scores for local initiatives and transportation alternatives? Because we have three different project lists in front of you, and they each have unique scoring systems. So I want to make sure we give you what you're asking for.
Well, from my perspective, whatever scoring system you use
whatever
for each table,
we'll give it to you. Okay.
We want to know what your thought processes are.
Sure. And if you go, Kevin, if you go to the, let me just mention on these two. There's two slides that he's going to briefly run through that are basically the major projects that the MPO Governing Board has already decided should happen soon. Because that's the question you're answering. Which projects should we devote time, energy, and attention to making happen soon? Allocate dollars to them, get them moving, make them happen. So we have two pages of projects in our long-range plan that the MPO Board has already said, let's make those happen. The question isn't so much should we take projects off that list, it's which projects from our long-range plan should we add to that list next. And if you click two slides ahead, I think that's that table, maybe?
It was working.
Can you go back?
Or it's not moving on the screen. I see it moving on your computer, but it's not moving on the screen.
Just made a noise, I wonder.
That's so interesting.
That is weird, because I was watching it.
Looks like we're not moving.
Wireless? The projector wasn't in the priority list.
Concept from this table, because the concept is sort of transferable, and once we get the technical issues worked out, then we'll put the actual table on the screen. The projects in this table are listed in order of the score that they received when we did our long-range transportation plan. Now, we don't provide you the numbers, so you don't have the relative magnitude of this one got 25 points and that one got 14, and so there was an 11-point drop from here to here. We don't show you that. But I do want you to understand that we've put these projects in order based on how they scored when we did our long-range transportation plan. So Northwood Connection scored higher than State Road 7. State Road 7 scored higher than FEC Railway. FEC scored higher than US 1, etc. That's how the plan was developed. Identify all the projects, figure out which projects you can afford, and then put them in a priority order based on how well they score against what you said matters to you as a community. That's the basic gist. When they go on the priority list, we tell the elected officials, you're not constrained to choose them in order. The plan has a sequence. We put them in there in a sequence. But if you want to prioritize a project and say, let's make this one happen first, it gets to Greg's point. Conditions change. We update our long-range plan once every 5 years. Political priorities and travel demand priorities, the way people are moving in our region, change over time. So we don't go through the long, drawn-out process of amending the long-range plan every time one of those changes occurs. We just tell the board, pick the stuff that matters most to you, and let's get that done as soon as we can. So we, when we get to that third slide, we have actually prepared for your review the list of options available to you to add to our major project priority list. And we've showed you them in order. But we've also given you a subjective determination, a recommendation from our staff as to why we should skip several of them and jump to Okeechobee Boulevard. So to Myron's point, are we making a political call? Somewhat. It's more, I think, more of a tactical recommendation on the travel demand issues that we're seeing and how many projects in different areas of the county are going on simultaneously. So we're saying, hey, maybe we should go with Okeechobee next. But you have the information, at least as far as the sequencing goes, in the slide that we can't seem to get on the screen.
I have a printout, so I can kind of read through the slide that was up previously. We had two slides of, okay, so we have the MPO major projects in our cost feed in the adopted LRTP. And we kind of did a status of the projects that are either under construction, have been constructed, or funded in the TIP. So there were two tables with those projects. And then the third table that Nick was referring to was kind of the options that we viewed as what candidate major projects are still out there that could be pulled onto the annual priority list. And then we kind of did a staff suggestion. So I'll just read through. There's not that many projects. The first one was a new tri-rail station in West Palm Beach serving Palm Beach International Airport. The reason we didn't recommend inclusion on the priority list at this time is there's already a feasibility study program in fiscal year 18. We thought it made sense to wait for that feasibility study, see the determinations and outcomes, and then that could be a good candidate project for next year. But we didn't see at this time that project. Next one was military trail, express bus and multimodal corridor improvements. It's similar right now, the US 1 multimodal study is underway. We already have on the priority list the tri-rail expansion to the north, to Jupiter. So we felt that there's two north-south, somewhat parallel corridors. So let those get a little further before we would bring on another north-south corridor. The next one was US 27 connector. This was out in the Glades region. The traffic demand is not there for this road now. It's pretty contingent on the development of an inland logistics center, which has been an inland logistics center or inland port, as it's been called, out in the Glades area. But until there's more movement on that, there's no justification for that US 27 connector road. The next project was an expansion of the park and ride facility at the existing Boca Raton Tri-Rail station. Right now the priority is for that second Boca Raton Tri-Rail station near Glades, as opposed to this project. Next was I-95 express bus from West Palm Beach to Jupiter. Again, this gets back to the parallel corridors. We already have prioritized the Tri-Rail expansion, which is not far east of 95, so we didn't see the express bus priority at this time to move forward. Okeechobee Boulevard, which is the one we are recommending for inclusion on the priority list. It does include a component south on State Road 7 to the mall at Wellington Green, and this would be a similar process to what we've kicked off this year with US 1, where first there'll be the planning study, then there'll be capital improvement recommendations, and then potential for premium transit along this corridor. And then the last two candidate projects that we did not recommend at this time were both in the Glades area. There were two pieces of Hooker Highway, which again, the demand is not there for these widening projects until such time that an inland logistics center looks like a feasibility, and then freight traffic out in that region would increase significantly, and those projects would be warranted at that time. So that's kind of a run through of, I'm sorry, it wasn't on the screen for you all, but those were the candidate projects left on the list of cost feasible projects that hadn't been prioritized, and so at this time the recommendation was for Okeechobee Boulevard. And then, so that was the major projects, and then there were only two more slides after that. One was about the local initiatives program. Like I mentioned, that's an annual submittal process. There were 8 applications submitted this year, 7 of which were deemed eligible. So there were projects included in West Palm Beach, Delray Beach, Jupiter, as well as a Palmtran project. And there was enough funding. We had about $17 million available this fiscal year. Those 7 projects used about that amount of funding. So it worked out that all those 7 projects were able to be included in the draft priority list. And then last is the Transportation Alternatives Program. Here there were 6 projects submitted, and there was enough, and those were ranked, and there was available funding for 4 of the projects. 3 of them completely, those were in West Palm Beach, 1 in the Westgate CRA, it's an unincorporated Palm Beach County, and a project in North Palm Beach. And then the 4th project, which was in Royal Palm Beach, was able to receive about 2/3 of the funding request based on what was left over for that program. That covered the slides.
Before we vote on this,
sure.
Would it be possible to get paper copies of that for us that we can look at quickly?
The presentation slides here?
Yeah, because I mean, we're being asked to approve the whole business, and we can't, you know. Well, your presentation is fine, but I couldn't follow it all.
We had to restart the computer, so hopefully now it's.
Yeah, we can. If we can get it on the screen, we're walking to just give you a chance to. And if you want to defer the action on this item, so we can either want to do one or the other, I'd be happy to do that.
I think one of them needs a vote. One of them needs a vote tonight.
I mean, defer the action to a few,
either
20 minutes down the line. When we get one or the other of these issues resolved, either show you the screen or provide you the paper.
Michael, your hand up.
Yeah. I got a question about the FEC Railroad. The one slide was there said the FEC Railroad was the top priority safety zones. So that was $9.1 million. If I remember my memory's bad too, but 3 years ago it seemed like that was like being told the cities that it was going to be $6 million. How, am I wrong? How did it increase 50%?
$6 million for phase one, West Palm to Boca Raton, and another 6.6, I think, I'm going from memory, and then another 2.3, 2.5 for West Palm north to Jupiter, phase two.
Okay.
So the total is 9.1, but the number we quoted for the city, for the investment for phase one of Brightline was 6.6.
Okay, well, actually, in the backup, it says 6A, which was halfway, was 6.9. And 6B was 2.23 for a total of 9.2. So is it just different, 9.1 to 9.2? Is that just, you know, different times organizing it, or?
The 9.3 should just be the total.
Right.
So if we misrepresented that on one of the rows, that was our mistake. It's the total for the two components. It's not an additional 9 million.
Right. Well, I just wondered how it jumped from 9.1 to 9, how it jumped from 6 to 7 to 9, and then how it jumped from 9.1 to 9,226.
Consultants. Sorry, I had a little humor that.
The 6 million, I mean,
Yeah, that was just a guess, guess 3 years ago.
It was what we had estimated would be the capital cost to build all the exit gates and some of the medians on each of the roads crossing, on the majority of the roads crossing the FEC from West Palm to Boca.
So that came in at 6.9 3 years later. Okay, understandable.
And then, yeah. And then the estimate for the north is what it is. It's 2.5 or 2. Whatever to get to the total.
So, okay, so it's just a minor error that it's on one slide says 9.1, but in the documents it's 9.2.
They ought to say the same thing. So I'm not looking at what you're looking at right now, but I'd be happy to correct it if we find a mistake.
Yes, Bill.
If this is supposed to be a standalone document, can I make a suggestion? And maybe it's just because I'm new to this. There are about a dozen acronyms in the funding table.
Yeah.
Could you put a legend at the bottom of each of the four tables? There are only about a dozen.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like
good,
acronyms.
There may not even be that many.
Yeah.
You'd be happy to.
No, there are about
12. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
A glossary page or something too.
Like going to a Whole Foods vitamin counter.
I can guess what better than half of them are, but
is this presentation going to be made for the board?
Yes.
I'd really like to suggest that if you have these things in order that they're scored, that you put a footnote to that effect somewhere on there so that they understand that these have been scored this way, and that's the order of score, but that you're making different recommendations than the score.
Okay.
I'm a data person.
Sure.
And if you're gonna collect data, the purpose of collecting data is to make decisions.
Yeah.
And I perfectly accept the notion that there are reasons other than the objective, so-called objective scores, for prioritizing. And you that last slide you saw showed that. I mean, that was the interesting little notes there. As to why it would not.
Why? Sure. And it's really these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 projects that would have come
scored
next,
yeah,
but for our recommendation.
It makes perfect sense, but it seems,
yeah,
to me that you get on a better basis for decision making if you show them, or at least tell them, that this is the order in which they're scored.
Okay. That's great feedback.
And then these were the last slides that I read through. So these were the 7 projects submitted and recommended for inclusion on the priority list through the local initiatives program. And then we had the 4 projects from the transportation alternatives program. So I'd be happy if there are any other questions.
Okay, does anybody have any questions? Okay. Thank you. And this is an action item.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move approval subject to the modification of the presentation to indicate explicitly that the order in which the projects are listed were the orders in which the scores were.
Okay.
And to request that in the future the tables include explicitly the scores.
Okay, do we have a second?
Okay.
Second. Glenn, any further discussion? Staff, is that doable? Okay. Other questions? Okay, call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, item 2D. The amendment to the fiscal year 17-18 Unified Planning Work Program.
You did that well. Another acronym, sorry about that. I'm Renee Press, and I'm going to present. I only have one slide, so this will be really fast. We're in the process of amending the Unified Planning Work Program. This is our first amendment. And the significant changes are we're rebalancing the task budgets to better align with expenditures in both fiscal year 17 and 18. we're going to allocate $100,000 to the transfer to the Broward MPO to support the regional transportation plan, the 2045. And we're increasing the FTA reimbursement in fiscal 18 to reflect the timing of consultant expenditures expected to come in during that time frame. And that's it. Any questions? Yes.
Does this mean that Broward is like the lead agency on putting together this regional transportation plan?
Yes, that's correct.
Does it likely going to be $100,000 per year for 3 years?
Yes, that's correct also. But the last 2 years will be in the next UPWP. So a 2 year document. Any other questions?
Any other questions? None. This is an action item. So we need a motion. Yes, sir.
I make a motion.
Approve. Motion to approve by Rick. Second by Judy. Any further discussion? Seeing none, call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay, takes us to item 2C, updates to the Palm Beach MPO 5-year strategic plan. Nick?
Okay, so brief background on this one is the MPO last fall adopted a strategic plan, clarified its mission and vision, and told us as staff that they want us to get a certain number of tasks accomplished over the next 5 years. Really, what it does is it directs our efforts and energy in the first year of that document, and then we report back to them and say, this is how we've done, and we ask them if there are any modifications that we would like to make. Further background to this, we had a strategic plan subcommittee of the governing board get together last month. Five of them, along with the chair, got together with me and my staff and talked about where do we want to see the MPO go next. And so the recommendations that are in this presentation in your backup material reflect our committee discussion. So that's the background. First, we cover the report card. How did we do this past year against what we were supposed to accomplish? Well, one of the things we were supposed to do is get our public, or get our board members and staff engaged. And I think that the administration, the agency, the number of staff members that have been able to attend MPO trainings and really get involved in how we're doing, as well as the governing board members who are investing their time in transportation planning has risen, and we think that they're engaged now. The public involvement, outreach to the members of the public, we've increased both our web investment in our website as well as in our social media presence, and we've seen a lot of people following us, paying attention to what's happening at the MPO, providing feedback on what we ought to be doing next, and that's the kind of stuff that we're looking for. That's the kind of input that we want, in particular, for this committee to wrestle with and engage with to make sure that we're not just agreeing on what bureaucrats think should be done with money, but that we're investing in projects that our community sees as valuable and is excited about. And then also we are implementing our long-range plan. We are investing our time, energy, and effort in leading corridor studies like the US 1 study, hopefully like the Okeechobee Boulevard study. We're engaged in prioritizing the money. We're not just rubber stamping what other people think should be done. We're improving projects that are in the pipeline already, and we are giving opportunities for our municipal partners, our county staff members to be trained in how to best submit applications for MPO funding, how to get involved in this thing we call complete streets, and how to make our transportation system work as well as it can. Those are some things we're doing well, and we've celebrated this past year. Opportunities for improvement, places that we didn't quite get all the way down or that we're in progress with, we have been reprimanded, if you will. In our certification review annually, the DOT looks at how we're conducting ourselves as an MPO, and they said, boy, your downtown meeting space is really atrocious. We've known that for a long time, but they actually put it in the report and said, we really need to find better meeting facilities so that when we ask people to come out and tell us what they think, there's a place for the public to sit, and it's not a cramped, crowded, handful of rows that doesn't allow for anybody to feel comfortable when they're there. So we're also in the process of rebranding the MPO. So for those of you who have just started learning the acronyms associated with transportation, MPO stands for Metropolitan Planning Organization. That is the federal term used to describe any agency that gets together in an urban area and decides where to spend federal transportation dollars. That's the term in the federal regulation, but it's a very often misunderstood term.
our governing board just last month said, why don't we proceed with changing the name of the MPO to the Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency, or TPA. A little more clarity associated with the Transportation Planning Agency. They've given us that direction, and they've also said they want us to use as our tagline, connecting communities. So the Palm Beach TPA, connecting communities. We will be sharing with you the draft of the full rebranding exercise, the logo, the color palette, and how to position that message in various settings. But we're in the process of that, and I wanted to give you that update. So we want to finish rebranding the MPO. We also want to increase the number and amount of applications that come to the MPO for funding. A lot of our municipalities have been encouraged to look at the infrastructure, the transportation stuff, in their communities, figure out what they could spend money on to make the transportation system work better, and submit that idea to the MPO. We encourage all of them to do that. Only some of them have done that. We'd love to see more applications, both from the county staff members as well as from our municipal partners, to make sure that we have the highest level of competition, because in our opinion, competition means that the best projects are the ones that get funded. To your point, the transparent scoring system that is applied to those projects that are submitted will ensure that the cream rises to the top. That's our hope. Frankly, we haven't had that many projects submit, so when you have made it through the door, you have often made it onto the priority list. And we want to make sure that only the best projects are making it onto the priority list. And then we're continuing a mobility fee conversation, and I think Andrew may have mentioned to you earlier, there's a lot of discussion going on between the elected officials even next week on road impact fees versus mobility fees. And we are actively working to finish our local complete street guidelines, and we want to make that a resource available to our partners, the cities, the county government, as far as how they could potentially design streets to be more useful to all of the people who are seeking to use them. That's the high-level overview, highlights and opportunities. Now, as far as specific changes, we are asking for you to support the recommendation for these specific changes. First, we want to increase the kinds of training opportunities we're providing for our governing board by giving them a one-day workshop on what an MPO is and what they've signed up for when their local government has appointed them to serve on the MPO governing board.
TPA.
Yeah, or the TPA governing board now. There you go. We also want to conduct a continued, and this is more of at least a one-day complete streets workshop, because we want to continue to engage our elected officials in how to build transportation facilities that work for everyone who's there, the transit users, the bicycle riders, the pedestrians, and the cars and commercial vehicles, personal and commercial vehicles. We don't want to just have a car-focused approach to transportation planning. Well, we're going to implement the DOT's recommendation and go find alternate meeting locations for our governing board so that we can have a more attractive environment for the folks who come out to those meetings and want to participate. We've been asked to update our limited English proficiency plan. How do we reach out to members of our community that don't speak English well? And then we want to make you aware that PalmTran is undergoing what they're calling a route performance maximization study of their entire system. They're going to be looking route by route and saying which of these routes are performing well enough to justify how much it costs to provide transit service, which of them are so attractive as corridors that we should spend more money on them, and which routes maybe are not performing highly and don't warrant the amount of money that we're spending to provide fixed route transit service. Now, there will be a conversation, it'll be a difficult discussion about what about the people who are dependent upon that service, how can we potentially provide them with a transit system that costs less but that doesn't leave them out in the cold. That'll be part of that discussion. What we're suggesting here is that the MPO's support role to that effort is to help them identify those particular major corridors in Palm Beach County, the Okeechobee Boulevards, the US 1, where we should focus our energy and effort on multimodal transportation stuff, bike lanes, transit infrastructure, shelter, bus shelters, big bus shelters to promote visibility and usage of the transit system, pedestrian connections, safe ways to cross the roads, as well as help them find the money to invest in the transit services, the capital cost to buy the buses, to operate them, to maintain them, so that we can support a growing appetite for public transit in Palm Beach County. So that's our suggestion there. On the next slide is regarding how we're prioritizing funding. We had as an objective to see our partners submit
two times the number of applications for two times the amount of funding we have available. That's a good desired outcome, but it's not an outcome that the MPO staff can control. So our suggestion is that instead of that, we would actually take it upon ourselves to come up with good projects, especially in communities that maybe don't have the biggest planning staff, to be able to put together their own ideas. And we would hand deliver those ideas to the communities and say, here, if you're wondering which project to submit to the MPO this year, use this one. So we think that's a more controllable objective for us. We think we're actually kind of excited to try it as planners and subject ourselves to the application process that a lot of our municipal partners have complained about being difficult. So once we put ourselves through the ringer, I think we'll benefit from understanding their pain and giving them good ideas to potentially submit for funding. So that's a suggestion. It's a different way of approaching that. We also had a goal of, or an objective of, helping them do pop-up or demonstration projects. Frankly, the MPO doesn't have any money that can be used on throwaway projects, like just put up a bunch of cones and let's try something like closing down a lane and letting bicycles operate there. We don't have funding for that type of investment, so we're not able to really be the lead on something like that. So we're saying we will be happy to support local governments that want to do that. We can promote those things. We can connect them with the road owners, if it's the DOT, if it's the county, to facilitate getting a temporary permit for trials, stuff like that. But we really don't want to hold ourselves to a number of projects because we're, again, not the driver of that particular objective. And then the other one we're suggesting here is we've already invested a lot of time in which projects are in the system and how can we make them be the best versions of themselves, if you will. We're suggesting that we focus a particular amount of staff attention on the infrastructure surtax projects that are being done both by the county and by the cities to make sure that those maintenance projects are also taking the opportunity while contractors are in the field doing work to add infrastructure where it's possible to do so with minimal or no cost increases to make those corridors safer for bikes and pedestrians and transit users and not just make the roads smoother for cars to drive on. So, that's one of our suggested initiatives going forward. And then on the collaboration side, we are suggesting that we change from providing two training workshops on how to submit applications to just doing one and then posting the video of the instructions and all the supporting documents on our website, so that instead of forcing you to come to one of two potential just single points in time, we'll actually have a resource on there for municipal staff to get involved in. And benefit from whenever they're in the process of filling out these applications. I mentioned we're going to be submitting applications to those local governments based on our adopted plans. And then lastly, we're continuing our road impact fee discussions, and we want to get the MPO board to figure out where they want that discussion to go and own an outcome. And then we're going to be providing what's called an Americans with Disabilities Act transition plan. So cities are supposed to be looking at their roads, their sidewalks, how people can connect, how they cross the street, and if they're not compliant with the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act, meaning they're not navigable by people in a wheelchair, people with limited mobility, they need to come up with a way to improve their stuff so that it is compliant. So we're going to tell them how to develop that plan, what it means to have in it, and make sure that all of our cities in Palm Beach County have established one of those. That's the high-level overview of the changes. Everything that we didn't show you here on this slide and we're suggesting should continue as an objective for the MPO, and we welcome any feedback, suggestions, modifications, etc.
Thank you for the PhD report card. Yes, Michael.
The infrastructure surtax, is there any way the TPA or whatever can talk to the local cities about using that for the city's components for a coastal tri-rail?
I can certainly talk to them, but I'm sure they'll.
Well, I know, but I mean, unless somebody, you know, the greasy wheel or
the squeaky wheel. Yes.
You know, unless you talk to them, they're going to, you know, buy garbage trucks.
I agree with you.
And
so, yes.
So
you can
make it easy
say,
for them, like you were saying.
Hey,
I think that's an excellent idea.
If you're struggling to figure out what to do with your infrastructure surtax money, we have an idea. Even if you're not struggling, we have an idea. Let's keep it in the conversation. Because, yes, there is a local capital cost associated with that project, and we want to make sure if the cities want to use that money for this outcome, that they can. It's a good suggestion.
Okay. Any other questions, Myron?
I just have a question about the ADA transition plan. I haven't been to every CAC meeting in the last 8 years, but has that ever come before this committee?
It has not, I don't think. It's something that came up in our federal certification review 2 years ago as something that if any municipalities want money, want federal dollars for a project in their jurisdiction, they have to have one of these. I think most of our larger municipalities have already done these. They have a plan and they're working on implementing it. We're just trying to make sure that no one has fallen through the cracks.
So this is a responsibility of the individual municipalities, not the NPO.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
I'm particularly interested in that for the reason I'll tell you later.
Okay, sure.
The other question, I recognize that this is a report card for what the NPO staff is doing. And that's fine, and I think this is great. Thinking about it, however, my initial reaction was, how's the county doing, you know, altogether in spending money on transportation? So I was wondering whether there are some place we have a metric for implementation of projects. We changed goal 5 from improving the experience to implement projects.
We did. I should have mentioned that.
And implementing projects, to me, my initial reaction was that, well, are they on time and under budget?
Yeah.
And do we have a metric for that? I mean, that's not the responsibility of the NPO, but, you know, that just seems strange that the NPO staff doesn't implement projects, and I was wondering why you changed the title of that goal. Maybe you don't want to.
So the short answer is nobody understood what improve the experience meant. The idea behind that particular goal is that we would ensure that projects planned at the NPO level get built by the lead agencies that are building them in a manner that's consistent with the plan at the MPO. So we don't implement them, we don't manage the contractor, we don't make sure the change orders are minimized and all that stuff. But we do have influence in every step of the process, and that tells us at the MPO that just saying, go find a way to build Tri-Rail Coastal Link isn't enough direction. We have to stay involved in the process and make sure that the stations are built well, that the connections to the stations are built well, that the service is provided in a reasonable time and frequency and all of those kinds of things. So that's what we're getting at. We're trying to make sure that the implementation of the projects by others is consistent with the plan of the MPO.
I'll try to think about how to word to use.
Sure.
If I find something else.
We wrestled quite a bit internally
yes,
with that word. Maybe that's why I left it off the slide.
Projects might be.
Sure.
Any other questions, Jeff, Judy?
No, I was going to make a motion to
okay.
approve staff's recommendation for the 5-year strategic plan.
A motion, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, Michael, we have a second. Any further discussion? Comments? Okay, we'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay, that gets us to information items, the PPP.
Yes, hello. I'm Melissa Booth. I'm the Public Information Officer. For those of you I haven't met, welcome. I also share responsibilities to make sure that we're in compliance with Title VI to ensure non-discrimination and also compliance with ADA requirements. And I'd like to invite Jessica Jocelyn from our consultant Kilson Associates to join me. Jessica is going to give you an overview of our new draft for the Public Participation Plan, previously known as Public Involvement Plan, and she'll tell you why we changed the name. It's not significant, but the last major update that we did was in 2012, and that existing document, which is currently adopted, does state that we will develop the Public Participation Plan in concert with this committee, and we came to you several months ago. We asked for feedback, the initial ideas or reactions or comments you had based on the existing one. We didn't receive comments then. We've gone forward with our consultants, and we're very pleased that we have a much more user-friendly draft. And I would encourage you to look as quickly as you can and provide any comments you may have in these next the next week or so before we send it to the agencies for their review and before we bring it back for public adoption after a 45-day legally required public comment period. So we would hope that there wouldn't be a lot of changes after we start that public comment period, which will be August 4th. Jessica?
Thanks, Melissa. Great introduction. So who here had a chance to look at the 25-page or so document? Okay. So I know we're all busy. It's hard to prepare so much for these meetings. So I'm going to give you a very high-level Cliff Notes version, but I do recommend it's very easy to skim through. Like I said, it's 20, 25 pages. There's a lot of graphics and things in there. Nice, legible, large font. So if you can get through it and send us any comments, obviously today, but I'm not going into the details of it. And I know this committee in particular, it's going to be of utmost importance to kind of look through that and make sure we captured everything you told us in past meetings. Yeah.
This is maybe the dumbest question of all. When was that you sent it to us? Because I don't think I ever got it. It wasn't in
The link was in your agenda package.
It's a link, yeah.
I'm going to give you a handout at the end that has the link as well, so you can get directly to the draft.
Yeah, so I'm glad you actually asked that, because the folks didn't think it was in there. So yeah, there's a link you can just click on, and it should pop up, and it should just take a few minutes, really, to go through. But I'm going to walk through what's in there, and then you guys, of course, can ask questions today and then follow up prior to. Did you have a question? Or?
I just always get my stuff at paper, and when you put that up, I'm like, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Guilty. Okay.
I'm not finding it. The presentation was not included.
It's,
you did not get the presentation.
And that I
asked
you. So and I'll kind of flip through. So there's table of contents.
I'm looking at it right now, I guess.
Are
you looking at an agenda?
Yeah.
Some of us have everything that's distributed in paper rather than as links.
Right.
This did not come in the paper packets. That's what we're just
saying.
Or the hyperlink.
And I'm looking at it in the hyperlink right now.
So you're saying you didn't get a backup?
Right.
This item.
I'm glad I asked if anyone read it then, because it's a blank. You need the document in order to read it. So, okay.
I printed out the entire hyperlink.
It's just a hyperlink to the document on the
second
site,
page,
but the backup
the
wasn't.
Document.
Oh, is that that?
Apparently, I'm missing also.
It's in the appendix.
Anyway, we're going to make sure that after Jessica's done, I'm going to provide you with a copy of the handout of the presentation that includes that.
See, look, if you look at the.
Thank you.
On the
event
information items.
Thank you.
Yes. Is that right there? So you can even type it in. If you got this in paper, you can type it in. And you're going to get in just a minute.
I want at least two people to read it, so we feel it was worthwhile. I think you'll actually find there's a whole glossary of acronyms. There's really cool graphics, and I'm really proud of it because so many people are like, what was that? What did you just say? What do you do? And it's just a nice graphic that says this is what an MPO does, all the products they prepare, how frequently we update them, how they kind of affect the community, things like that. So I do think it's not a snoozer of a document. It's very interesting. So, all right. So why are we doing this? It wasn't required, but the last one, like Melissa said, was done in 2012. The MPO's changed since then. We wanted to refresh, rebrand, and really make sure that it was a user-friendly document. Past documents, typically the organizations like MPOs prepare, they can be snoozers or just very confusing. They lose your interest after the first paragraph. So what we try to do is put clarity into the document. What do we really do as an MPO, and why do people care? Why do they want to get involved? Like I said, we have many more graphics versus text to try to display that message of what we do. We also wanted to make sure that the document, poor Melissa doesn't need to update it every day because a date changed or an acronym changed. We really tried to reference the website as much as possible for things like that because that is updated frequently. The MPO has invested a good amount of time into making sure that the website is friendly and easy to use and up to date. So we have that as part of the process, and FHWA really encourages that, Federal Highway Administration. And then the last one is updating requirements. The FHWA didn't do a ton more of requiring the MPO to do things, but they did want to make sure that we have strategies in place to engage the public. And they're the ones that actually were pushing changing the title from public involvement plan to public participation plan. So they were some minor things, but we just wanted to make sure that we were up to date there. So that's these are kind of the main needs and reasons why we updated this plan. What goal did we use to guide this update? Obviously, we spoke with you all and got your input, but the MPO has this goal for public participation specifically, so that's really what guided us. Implement and grow an effective public participation process that enables and encourages public awareness and input into the MPO's local and regional transportation planning and project prioritization process. So the regional, I really like that your MPO has that. It's something that Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade are all committed to doing because a lot of us, I think about 15% of our South Florida region crosses county lines. So it's really great that you guys have recognized that within your goal. The objectives that we have in place to try to achieve that goal, so the first one is MPO meetings such as this one. So providing this as an opportunity for folks to get engaged and provide input and inform the decisions we make as an agency. Public participation strategies, so using multiple strategies to really make sure we reach all of Palm Beach County. It's a large area. And making sure you're hitting all of the demographics, so newsletters, websites, flyers, brochures, social media, things like that. MPO plans and documents. Making sure that notices are going out well in advance so folks can have the opportunity to review the documents and provide input. Like you're saying, maybe some need to request a hard copy, that we give that time for folks to really seek that document and then provide the input to Melissa or Renee or Nick or whomever. Promote and ensure non-discrimination and equity. So everything we do, we need to provide access to all folks in the county. Especially the minority and traditionally underrepresented communities in Palm Beach County. And then last but not least, like I was saying, the regional piece, promoting public participation in regional planning issues and project prioritization. So that's something I know Melissa's really taken on, and we want to make sure, whether it's Melissa or anyone else in the MPO group, that they're connecting with Miami-Dade and Broward in these discussions so we don't confuse the message throughout the three counties. Document purpose, this is obvious, and I thought part of it wasn't obvious. So the first one that, you know, is the first thing that comes to mind is this document is to help show and educate the public on how to interact with the MPO and when to participate, right? So that kind of seems obvious within the title, but the second one I thought was really great that the MPO staff now have a formalized document, and they have had it in the past, that really ensures it's consistent, that no matter who's doing this activity, it's the same approach, and we're assessing things in the same manner and changing as we go. And then last, the document, it's very important that it outlines the objectives and measurable targets to support the goals and track the progress. So similar to how Nick just went through the annual report card, we want to have something similar for the public participation process. So the document is broken down into five sections when you get the opportunity to flip through it. So the first one is the introduction. So that just says, what is an MPO and things like that, just very basic introduction to the agency. It goes through who participates in transportation planning. I'm sure I'm still learning every day the new people working in the planning process, so that is there as well. A how-to guide for addressing the MPO. I thought this was really great. It's just kind of a one-pager. You know, do you have an issue? What do you do? Do you have a comment that you just want to supply someone? You know, things like that. It's just a one-pager that folks can have. Plans and programs. There's a lot of documents that the MPO does, and that gets adopted. It can get a bit confusing, so we have a graphic in there that really walks someone through the entire process and how each document affects them in the different time frames. And then there's also just a couple pages and nice tables for the objectives and strategies supporting the goals, which I mentioned earlier in the presentation. The process we went through was also five steps. So we first spoke to peers throughout the country. So it was really nice to hear that we're at par with peers throughout the country in terms of our public participation process. We did gather feedback, which is similar, I think, to what you all have experienced, that we, the the biggest part we can get out of the plan is making sure that we're documenting what we're trying to do and what we're trying to achieve and some of the strategies so that staff and others participating have guidance. So that was a common theme that we also heard from the peers. So in July here we have the draft, so we're here to talk about that today, and we'll bring that to the board, as Melissa said, next week for their comments. And then we'll send it out to the public for their review and commenting for a 45-day period. Then we'll present the final public participation plan in September for approval. And it doesn't end there. Then we'll have the iterative process of reflecting back and saying, okay, how did this work? Do we need a different strategy? Do we have to kind of change the emphasis we put on one versus another, things like that. And then Melissa and the agency working with you all can adjust this plan as per the results of that measuring. So that is it for my overview. And Melissa and I are happy to take any questions you all have. And of course, if there are questions or comments post this meeting, we're more than happy to address those as well, so you have some more time to digest the content.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Melissa. Any questions by the members?
Just a comment.
Yes.
I just want to say it's an attractive report, so I'm more inclined to read it.
Great. Thank you. A lot of graphic designers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I will say, when our camera was not behaving earlier, I thought you are not going to get cheated out of this presentation. I only do it every several years. So I did a printout of the presentation, and if you would take one, pass it around. And on the last slide of this, I add just now that link, that hyperlink at the top of the last slide has the homebeachvo.org draft PPP. So that's the direct link, and if you go look at today, you'll see the date of July 10th, I think it was, for the revision. If we get comments from you, the other committees, we'll be continuing to make updates, so go back, check occasionally, see if you see a later update, or call me and say, hey, have you changed anything, or what did you change since the version I looked at last week? We're hoping to get all of the tweaks we need to in these next weeks or so, next week or two, before it goes to all the agencies, and most importantly, before we send it to the public. So what the public gets and sees out there for 45 days, hopefully, has been thoroughly vetted internally with all of our groups and committees, and will come to you ready to be adopted, hopefully recommended for adoption by this committee and others, and then adopted by our governing board in September. And Jessica's team has been great to work with. They're not all here, but thank you. They're all wonderful, and they certainly made boring documents look much more interesting and user-friendly. So,
yeah. So if you're working, you're with your family and friends, like, what is that committee you sit on? What do they do? Now we have a very pretty graphic, so they'll be very impressed. Like, oh, we do long-range planning and transportation improvement programs. So one thing I do want to know, if when you get in there, it's not extremely prescriptive and in detail because you're held accountable to whatever's in this document. So sometimes less is more, because when you're very prescriptive, then you're stuck in the box. If you want to try another measure or strategy, you can't because it's not in the document. So some of it is a little higher level on purpose. So just wanted to drop that in your mind if you were looking for extreme detail. It's not there on purpose.
Yes, Myron.
As usual, I'm a little, I mean, that's just fine, but I'm a little confused because I heard you say that the last time the plan was done was 2012.
The last major update.
Yeah. I know we've had discussions about this.
Since then, we've come because we would make annual calendar updates, and then sometimes there were things like when we add the responsibility of overseeing the LCB, or when FAST Act came along, we had to bring some of those kind of changes. But the first time we really started from scratch was 2012.
Good clarification.
And there aren't necessarily a lot of changes even to that document, but this is prettier, better organized, more user-friendly. But most of the meaningful policy really didn't change.
I just thought I was having a senior moment too.
You're not crazy, yes.
And just to mention that, as you said, 45 days is legally required for this, but throughout this document you'll see for the various plans and programs, 30 days notice required, 14 days notice required. Those are numbers we put in there, and they're numbers that generally work with our calendar, but we feel give reasonable opportunity for public input and comment. But those are numbers that we come up with. But once we come up with them and we go to the public and we adopt it, then it's as good as law. It's the law we've chosen to impose on ourselves.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, other information items? from the governing board meeting of June 15th. Anybody has any questions, et cetera? Administrative items. Any member comments? Yes, Mike.
Okay, sorry. Month by month, we have been following a particular project, the last time we talked about it, the question was the funds are in the FY18 budget, but construction is delayed, and the question was what happens to the funds in the FY18 budget, or 17 budget, sorry. And we were told that if a contract for construction has not been signed by a certain date before the end of the fiscal year, the funds, federal funds, would go back to Tallahassee and would be reallocated somewhere. Not necessarily in Palm Beach County MPO, but somewhere. And so my question, I just want to follow up because I want to try to understand the budgeting process, the funding process, and how these things work. And so I asked in advance if we could get an update of where that was because the fiscal year is rapidly coming to a close.
Yes.
Any particular project?
Oh, yes.
Well, it's 87, and the construction is now scheduled for
just, we have other members in the that are new. That
yeah. Okay.
We're familiar with the familiarity of the discussions.
So, okay. As a preamble to the response, I do want to make sure that the committee members appreciate and are aware of Andrew Euler is our TIP coordinator at the MPO. In addition to being your liaison as a committee to the rest of our staff and to our board, he's the guy who fully understands the money. So it's a good, you have access to the right person to answer these kinds of questions. That being said, I'm going to, Marge, go ahead and turn the screen on. So the last time I tried this, everything broke, but we'll see if we can pull this off. Yeah, that one. Okay, good. All right, so the question is, with respect to these two projects, I've pulled up the now superseded version of our Transportation Improvement Program. This is the fiscal year 17 through 21 program. Just last month, the MPO board adopted the 18 through 22 program. So from a state perspective, on July 1st, we entered fiscal year 18. The federal government doesn't get there for three more months, two and a half at this point. So they don't get to fiscal year 18 until October 1st. What Myron was referring to is when you put federal dollars on a project, and it's particular to the federal government and how they fund, how they view their dollars, those are use it or lose it dollars. So you need to carefully allocate them to projects in the first year of your program because you're going to be expected to spend them or at least encumber them on your project. Okay? So that's the background rule. Don't put them on a project that's not going to go forward. Put them on projects that need them and that can use them. Now, Bill, I apologize because the dozen acronyms just went to about 300 with what I'm about to tell you.
I'm good with most of them.
But I'm going to explain a little bit of the secret behind this column right here, which has to do with the source of money for each of the rows on the projects that we're talking about. These are the two State Road 7 projects. The one on the bottom of the screen is a widening of the existing road from Okeechobee Boulevard to 60th Street. It's about a $16 million construction project that would widen the section the county built. There's a two-lane road. It would take it to a four-lane road. The one on the top half of the screen is the construction of a new four-lane road from 60th Street, just south of the Ibis community, east along their southern border, and then north along their eastern border up to North Lake Boulevard. That's a new four-lane road, and that is a total construction estimate of about $48 million with some additional funding needed in outer years to complete right-of-way payments needed for parcels that have yet to be acquired or fully paid for, and complete the environmental mitigation required for the adjacent the corridor adjacent to the water catchment. I'm giving you way more information than you asked for. Here's the rub. Fiscal year 17, these S funds, surface transportation, urban area, surface transportation, any area, and the ACS fund are all federal dollars. Those are the use it or lose it rows in the table. So you've got about $2 million here, about $4.5 million here, and about $10 million here of federal funds. And then you come down here and you've got an additional $15.8 million of federal dollars on that project. Myron's question is, because permitting has gone slowly, thanks to certain entities opposing the issuance of permits, permitting has gone slowly for the Statement 7 project. Will the department be able to encumber those dollars prior to October 1st, or will we potentially lose them? DOT has been issued following the administrative law judge ruling, has been issued the South Florida Water Management Permit for the State Road 7 project, but they're still waiting for a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers permit. So they need that permit before they can award a contract to a construction entity, and they don't think they're going to have that permit by October 1. So they are worried, as Myron has pointed out, that they may lose this $16 million, $15.9 million, and then the sum of the federal funds up here. What they're doing to address that, and I want this committee to be aware of, is they're saying, let's move those dollars that are currently on the State Road 7 project, just the federal dollars, to another MPO priority project in Palm Beach County that is being funded with state money. And let's put the state money from the other project onto State Road 7 so that the State Road 7 schedule is no longer as critical in a use it or lose it sense. So the State Road 7 project is going to become 100% state funded. No federal money will be used on the remaining phases of the project. On the fiscal year 17 phases of the project. I don't want to say none of the federal, because some of this outer stuff is federal, and I think that will just stay there. In order to do that, we needed a project that was big, that was able to spend money by October 1st of this year, that was in Palm Beach County, and that was a priority. So I'm going to flip back a handful of pages to this project right here. Southern Boulevard widening from west of Lion Country Safari, really from the Arden project entrance. If you're familiar with that development, there's about 2,000 units of residential units on State Road 80 west of Seminole Pratt, west of Lion Country Safari. That's where the widening of State Road 80 will start with this project. And it goes all the way to just west of Forest Hill Boulevard, where the existing 6-lane road is, where the road widens out from 4 to 6. So the whole corridor of State Road 80 is going to go from 4 lanes to 6 lanes. This project is $48 million in fiscal year 18. The majority of that money is district funds, DS, district statewide, and district dedicated revenue, DDR. So those are state dollars available to this project to be able to construct it. This project is ready, it's permitted, and it can consume or at least obligate the federal dollars by October 1st. So I wanted you guys to be aware. This is some of the fiscal gymnastics that the DOT has to do when projects don't go quite as planned, but they want to make sure that they use every dollar available to them to implement the projects. So that's what they've done. They've essentially said, we're going to accelerate these expenses to happen prior to October 1st, and we're going to consume those federal dollars that are available to the state for the Southern Boulevard project, and we're going to delay the state money to fiscal year 18 so that State Road 7 can happen when the permit is issued. Frees up a little bit of the urgency, but the department is continuing to work aggressively to get that permit.
So state money doesn't have the same kind of restrictions
on
the fiscal year type.
Doesn't have the same requirements. Yes.
Very
and you will see, as part of the roll forward amendment that will come in front of this committee in September, you will see that change occurring. That the Southern Boulevard funds have been accelerated, and they will essentially disappear, because you'll see these dollars will go out of the TIF, and the State Road 7 funds will move into fiscal year 18 to implement what I've just described to you. Yes, Josh?
Just curious, where do the money from portion share contributions fit into this?
That's a very fun question to answer. Proportionate share, I'll try to do it on a high level. So prop share payments are made by developers who've done a traffic study and said a road is too busy to handle my additional cars plus the ones that are already there. I'm going to write a check to the county to mitigate my impact. to pay for my part of making that road bigger, wider, big enough to handle the additional cars. The county treats that as a road impact fee payment, and the county uses that within the zone where that development exists. And there are five zones in the county. There's the north, there's the central east, there's the central west, there's the central south, and there's south. So they use it within the zone that payment was made as if it was a road impact fee. And then the county commission, under the recommendation of the county engineering department, decides where to spend that money. If the prop share payment was part of a development order that said it should be used for this outcome, then the county will use it for that outcome. If it just said the developer has to write a check, then the county engineer gets to make a recommendation and the county commission gets to decide whether or not to adopt that recommendation and spend the money as they choose to. Has to be on a road capacity project. This ties into that impact fee versus mobility fee conversation that I mentioned earlier. But ultimately, it's the county commission that decides where to put that money.
What if the fees exceed, what if the proportional share allocations exceed the impact fees?
Then the developer writes the check for the prop share amount. The county, if they are feeling generous at that time, will write them a nice thank you note for the additional contribution towards transportation. Otherwise, they'll just consider their impact fees satisfied, their impact fee obligation satisfied. The developer most likely, in the interim, now I'm just wandering off into speculative world, the developer will, so let's just use round numbers. Say the prop share contribution is $2 million and your impact fees are 1.5. The developer will probably, in the process of building out their project, try to do a development order amendment to add additional uses that equate to roughly $500,000 in impact fee obligations so that they claim every dollar available as a credit towards their construction of their project. But the trick is balancing. They'll try to add that $500,000 in additional impacts without tripping an additional prop share payment. But that's the world of developer impacts and county reviews. And that's the world I came out of before I moved over to the MPO, so I did a lot of that stuff in my previous responsibilities. Anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A bit of a tangent.
Thank you.
So,
very, very helpful.
Wanted you to understand that swap.
No, this is, I mean, we've been following this, and
sure.
Everybody knows I have a particular interest in that project, but I've been trying very hard to talk in general terms because this is a continuing problem with all projects, right? I mean,
yes.
And so I once asked, how frequently does it happen that money has to go back to Tallahassee and be reallocated and is lost? But we don't really know that information.
Well,
hardly ever.
Well, because of this.
They're not going to let $50 million or $40 million go back.
Yeah.
Hence, that's how you score.
Right.
And this is
to keep the money.
I think I can do this in about 30 seconds, but I'll mention this as well. The state of Florida is unique in this funding source as an approach to delivering projects. Whenever you see in the tip, if you ever wander into the details, you see the words or the letters AC in front of anything. What that means is the state of Florida created a pot of money maybe a decade ago, state money, and said we're going to spend this state money on federal aid eligible activities. And then as we fall short on planned federal funded projects, we will just submit for reimbursement something out of this pot, and when we get the reimbursement check, we'll put it back into the pot and we'll do it again. So they've always oversubscribed to the amount of federal funds available to the state of Florida on any given year because they've made that investment. And what that's allowed them to do on a statewide basis is not only do they never leave a dollar on the table, it could be formula funded to the state of Florida. When the nation goes through in this time period, July, August, the exercise of asking each of the state DOTs, are you going to be able to use every federal dollar available to you before October 1? The states that say no have to give that money back to Federal Highway. And then Florida raises their hand and says, look, we have an oversubscribed program. Send some of that money to us. And the state of Florida, because they've made that one-time investment of state funds, has been able to benefit to the tune of like $30 to $50 million a year on a statewide basis from other states' inability to use their portion of the federal programs. So they never leave a dollar on the table from a statewide perspective. The issue for us is we want to make sure that we build the projects in Palm Beach County that are prioritized so that we don't lose the money to other parts of the state of Florida.
What's AC stand for?
Advanced construction. So they have advanced funded the construction of a particular project with an intent to reimburse it later.
I'd like them to do my check.
Any other member comments? Okay, seeing none. Our next meeting will be in September. There will not be a meeting in August. September 6th. You want to put it on your calendar? And with that, we have a motion to adjourn. By Judy, second. By Josh. I think I saw you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your summer. See you in September.
No meeting next month.
Oh, no, we're
going to
show up anyway.
It's just too much fun, Dr. Sherry.